Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh right.
Listen, this is New Year, New Us.
Intelligent.
You think we know what we're doing by now?
You know us better than that.
This is podcast number
five. Got there first. No, it's six.
Well, it might. Yes, we're six. Thinking of swapping them over. Yes. We're going to record this first, but put it out after.
Oh, no, you've really started to
really
confuse
the audience.
Anyway,
as well.
It's about number five
switching
or six.
Off in their droves. Going, I don't care if it's 5 or 6 or 56. I'm not listening to this
more
drivel anymore.
More important things to do.
This is Jenny Eclair.
And Judith
Hunter. Who are you?
That old thing in the corner.
That old thing in the corner.
Yes, your friend.
You got a seat on the train today.
Before you. You got one very swiftly after me.
Well,
don't pull that one.
We did. We got on a train together because Judith stayed at my house last night.
Still hadn't changed the sheets.
I didn't. No, I did give it a sweep, though.
I don't think I even got new towels this time.
You did get new towels. They're just the old
sure?
new... They were fresh, but they're old.
You've just wafted them outside the back door.
Gave them a shake.
Anyway.
I pulled the duvet back and gave it a sweep for...
No, it's all right. I'm not complaining.
I took old Phoebe... Because Phoebe had been there over the festive period and
I think I found one of her socks in the bottom.
Well, I think she had a festive period as well.
So stop it!
Nobody knows who we're talking about. That Phoebe, by the way, is my 29-year-old daughter. Judith's got daughters as well. What are yours called?
For a minute there, I thought I've forgotten the name. That's awful, isn't it? For a second, I thought, oh my goodness.
Bad.
Sienna is the eldest. Who
because
just
got pregnant when you were on honeymoon.
Guess where we were on honeymoon?
You're in Bolton. We can't call you little girl Bolton.
And then Ellen Bajan Parker, because Bajan is from Barbados.
Oh, you went up in the world, didn't you?
We only ever shagged on holiday.
Yeah, well, that's the way, you know, why would you do otherwise? Oh, what a terrible thing. anyway, 2019, I've just switched my phone off. I don't know why I bother. Nobody calls me anyway. I haven't had a job yet this year. What date is it? The 8th? Oh,
no,
God.
Nobody calls me either, you know.
Awful.
Yeah. I mean, they stopped ringing me on the landline ages ago. I've come over that.
Oh, I get my cold call still on the landline.
Yeah, well, you're not ex-directory. Why don't you get yourself sorted?
Because I like to chat. Sometimes I just like that thing to ring now and again.
You pretend, don't you? You always pretend to me that you don't like them. But
well,
no, it's a comfort, isn't it?
It's a comfort
the phone
when
rings.
Yeah. Hello, will you be my friend?
That's really sad.
What am I saying?
Are we going to bother with New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, that was it.
I think we were going to say.
Yes.
I'm going to be quite modest about my New Year's resolution this year. I've been very, very modest. Not trying too hard. So my specific one is using the food recycling sort of thing that the council leave out for us, which I've ignored for about 4 years because it's horrible and it's too big to fit in the cupboard under the sink.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. So where do you put it, you know?
My sister is proud of hers, crawling with maggots.
And is it outside or inside?
No, she has it by her sink. She loves a bit of recycling, my sister.
Oh.
She gets off on it.
Does she?
Oh, absolutely. Recycling gives her the horn. She once had one, though. She had a wormery once for her birthday. She saved up and bought herself a wormery.
Oh,
it was when she was in another house. She had to leave it because it had gone out of control. She had a very big garden back then.
And are you making this up?
No,
is this
I'm
a fictional
not.
Character in one of your books?
No.
This is actually your sister.
This is my real sister in real life, our Sarah.
Why would you get yourself a wormery? Why would you go out and buy yourself a wormery?
Well, she's never been one for a bubble bath or anything like that. She's hair shirt, my sister. She bought herself a wormery and you fed it all the scraps.
Yeah.
And it came with worms. And the worms eat the scraps. And then eventually, months later, a brown goo oozes. Oozes out of the bottom of the wormery.
Yeah.
And that is the finest compost. It's like the gold star rated compost. You know, like us women, well, not us, because we're not idiots, but you know those kind of women that pay fortunes for face creams?
Yeah.
Well, you
should put it on a face.
Yeah.
No, come on,
you're making that up. Of course you didn't, you fool. You can't be as gullible as me.
Well, I'm obviously more gullible, aren't I?
Because that's one of my New Year's resolutions.
Is it?
To be less gullible.
Go on.
Do you know how gullible I am?
Yeah.
The other day, I'm too gullible for Twitter. I had to take myself off Twitter for 24 hours due to gullibility.
Go on.
Stupid gullibility. Right. You know, recently, Greg's came up with their vegan sausage roll.
Yes.
Have you tasted it?
No, I actually would quite like to.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What's stopping us?
Well, we haven't passed a Greg's yet. We're in a posh bit of London. We'll have to get back to South London.
Yeah, we will. Go on,
And find a Greg's. Well, apparently, you know, there was a bit of hoo-ha over this vegan sausage roll. And on Twitter, I'm so stupid, I'm embarrassed to admit this. Somebody had posted what looked like a demonstration outside of Greg's in Manchester.
Yeah.
And purported that there was a rally of naysayers, of Greg's vegan sausage roll naysayers. People, you know, demonstrating against it.
Why would they demonstrate against us, the vegan sausage roll?
Well, sorry, I thought it'd be some blokes. Mm. Some blokes that were so angry.
Oh, I see.
Angry about the fact that, you know, Greg's is a typically northern kind of eat meat.
Yeah.
Even though they do a fine cheese slice as well.
They do, yeah.
And I thought, oh, it's those kind of blokes that go, we can't have, we cannot have vegan. Well, it's not a sausage roll if it's not got sausage in it. What's it? Well, I'm not having that. I'm going to go and I'm going to demonstrate outside Greg's. And I genuinely believed it. And it wasn't. It was a snap from a, you know, those terrible people who are Brexiteers. It was one of their demonstrations. It had been taken from that, and somebody had made a funny.
Oh, had they?
Yeah, and I had been in comedy for 40 years.
And you
didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
No, I'm an idiot. And then, just straight after that, there was another thing that was on the Twitter, and it was like, it was a psychedelic picture. And, you know, a bit like a magic eye, but not a magic eye thing. I've never got a magic eye. Have you ever seen a magic eye?
No, I don't think I have.
You know when you look at a picture and it's all sort of...
Oh, I know.
And then you have to find the picture. Yes,
and,
you have to find the picture inside the magic eye. And I've never found one. Sometimes I lie. I go, oh, yes, I can see it. Oh, it's boats, isn't it? It's always boats. Oh, look at the boats. And so, anyway, this thing on the Twitter, it was psychedelic picture, and apparently it said, if you're calm, it stays stationary, it stays still.
Oh, terrifying.
And if you're tense, it moves.
Oh, God.
Well, you know me.
Well, it moved straight away, wouldn't it?
Well, it didn't, and I thought, well, this is odd. I'm weirdly calm. And then about 10 minutes later, someone said, it's nonsense. It doesn't move if you're tense or calm. What kind of idiot are you? And there was me winding myself up, thinking, well, I can't be this calm because I'm not
calm. See what you mean about the gullibility? Yes. Actually, I did something very gullible the other day because I went to see A Star Is Born.
Did you?
And I was a bit lazy, really, about who was in it, I think. And,
did you not know the Gaga?
No. Well, I know who Lady Gaga is.
Yeah.
But, well, having said that. So I saw it and I loved it, obviously. And I found myself saying to someone about it.
Yeah.
I said, well, whoever played the woman, you know, she is going to be a bloody big star. She's fantastic. She could really sing. And they said, well, it's Lady Gaga.
Well, she should have been calling you Lady Gaga because you've gone Gaga in the head.
Maybe that's not
not knowing who the Gaga is,
isn't it? That is just stupidity.
It's not keeping up. It's not. Anyway, I've been very depressed. And what? Do you remember when I phoned you on New Year's Day? And
yes, I do. Actually,
you said to me, "How are you?" And I said, "Judith, I am suicidally depressed." And you
said,
to laugh. "Jenny, I've got friends staying. And I'm making them breakfast."
I'm sorry about that.
You left me high and dry.
I shouldn't have answered the call, really, but I thought it was just going to be one of your jolly little, hello, Happy New Year.
Never on New Year's Day. Never on. I'm always, that's the lowest I ever get. New Year's Day.
You called me and I just fobbed you off.
Yeah. How are you, Jenny? Suicidally depressed, you could... Well, I'm frying some bacon, so I'll catch up with you later.
What are you supposed to say when somebody
says
suicidally
depressed? Well, not. I'm too busy to deal with you now. Anyway, I've cheered myself up. Do you want to know how?
I do.
I've got a list of things that have cheered me up.
Oh, go on then.
Okay, let me just explain my low-level anxiety and career paranoia that happens at the start of every new year. Because I have this awful thing, and I don't know how many of you listening share this thing, where once a year is over, I cancel myself out. I kind of return to factory settings on the 1st of January, and my slate is entirely clean.
That's dreadful,
Jane. I believe that I have done nothing, and I have everything to prove.
My God, well, I mean, that's the most extreme New Year's resolution ever.
Yeah, but it just happens naturally. I don't want it. It's not planned. It just happens. Back to factory settings. I have done nothing. I have everything to prove. And nobody is phoning me because it's New Year's Day. It's a bank holiday.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not getting any work. And so, therefore, I'm useless and rubbish.
To start all over again every January the 1st.
Yeah.
God, you must be tiring
to
live
with. Not only am I tiring to live, I am exhausted from this.
Well, I'm not surprised. Yeah, it's only January the 6th, for God's sake.
No, Judith, it's the 8th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
back to factory settings.
Okay.
Well, that is depressing.
Yeah, I know. So celebrities have cheered me up.
Right. In what way?
Their antics. Their ridiculous, stupid antics.
Oh. And how do you know about them?
Because I read the Daily Mail sidebar of shame.
Do you?
I don't do that, do you?
No, I don't really. I know what it is, and I have wandered there.
What do you do?
Don't get off on it. Doesn't, you know, why? I'm not interested. Well, first of all, I don't know who half of them are. But it doesn't really hit the spot for me. But why does it? Go on. So you think, well, I'm don't feel that I'm doing very well, which is nonsense, by the way. But ha! You think I'm doing badly. Look at this lot. Is that how it works?
No, it's not. It's total 100% just distraction. It's just a distraction device. That's all. I'm not comparing myself because I don't actually feel like I live in the same world. You know, once on this podcast, I said I never burped in my life. This room makes me burp. I am allergic to the podcast room.
Oh, dear.
It gives me the burps.
I'm not even going to tell you what she did before Daisy arrived in the room. Not even going
to
tell them.
Poo. I had to.
You did. You actually did.
Yeah, I did. Well, I think you should before a podcast. Make yourself comfortable.
Good job you're not an air hostess.
I'll tell you a story. You know, we've got a guest coming later. Helen Ledra. I don't know whether Helen Ledra knows this, but once she made me laugh so hard on the phone, I shat my pyjamas.
Have you ever told her?
I don't know. I think I have told her.
Maybe it's an overshare.
It's the only way I know to introduce her.
Hey, what were you saying? The Daily Bar of Shishay,
so
that cheered you up.
I like looking at celebrities and their antics. This week, it's been Madonna's bum. Has she or has she not had a butt lift?
Oh, God, really?
Have you seen the pictures?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there are these pictures of Madonna, and obviously Madonna can do what she likes.
Mm.
We're all, you know, grown-up women, etc. So, but actually, this is something I disagree with. I think that there's... we're all under the cosh at the moment that all us women have to hold hands and agree with each other regardless of whether one of us have done something really stupid. And I actually think having butt lifts is one of the stupidest things that somebody can opt to do and pay for, because women are dying of this operation.
Are they really?
Yeah, it's one of the highest... instance of it's the operation that has the highest death rate.
Good heavens.
Because people go to all sorts of extraordinary places to have it done, and there's all sorts of charlatans injecting women with rubbish.
So you just have to go back to basics here for me. So they're having their bottoms uplifted, accentuated?
Accentuated, more than uplifted.
Are they really?
Yes, yes.
I quite like the fact that my bottoms disappeared.
Well, yours has gone halfway down your legs, you just don't know where it is anymore.
Thank you for that.
No, yours is. You've always had quite a flat bottom.
Well, I know, but it's got flatter. But why would I bother about that?
Well,
it's a ridiculous thing to worry about.
Yeah. Yes. We worry. We obsess about other bits of us. But we've decided this 2019. We're not going to bother. But anyway, I looked at these pictures of Madonna. I don't know what was going on, because what it looked like. If I'm going to be horrible just for a few seconds, and then never again, I'm never going to say anything horrible ever again.
Lightly story.
Shall I tell you what it looked like?
Go on then.
It looked like she had a low garden wall in her back garden. She'd knocked it down.
Yeah.
She knocked it down with a big hammer. And then she thought, well, I really need a skip to get rid of the rubble. That's what I need. I need a skip, but I can't be bothered to hire a skip.
Stuff it down the back of her pants.
Yeah, she's put it down the back of her pants. And then she's waddled down the road to where the skip is.
So it's uneven. It's uneven.
Yeah, it's really, really lumpy and
uneven.
It looks like she's got rubble from a skip. that she needs to put in the skip down
and
the road.
And that's obviously not a proper look, is it?
No, I don't think so. The only other reason for why Madonna's bottom looked like that in this particular photograph was that she'd gone on stage with her bobble hat and her phone and her Greg's vegan sausage roll in her back pocket and her keys.
Put them all there.
Yeah, she's got them all there. The other person as well who fascinated me is the holiday antics of the rich and famous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did actually see a picture of Pippa post-child. I did. That did reach me because I think that was in one of the papers.
On St. Bart's.
On St. Bart's, looking so skinny and ridiculously toned.
Poor girl.
That is cruel, isn't it?
Yeah.
That really is like a woman throwing up the V sign at the rest of womankind saying, fuck you. Basically.
God, Jesus. Is that your New Year's resolution? Start swearing more.
Sorry, can I just apologise for that? That was really
I do remember, we've got a bit role reversal here.
Yeah, I know. My daughters might be listening to this podcast.
I'm usually the sweary one.
Sorry about that.
We are.
No, but it was a bit
I don't know who you are anymore. Why would Pippa Middleton's, you know, probably it's just one of those things, she's a bit elastic, goes back to that weight.
No, she's worked hard. I mean, she probably hasn't seen the child. She can't have done. She must have given birth, instantly gone to the gym. Instantly, 24
and then
hours.
St. Bart's.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit dysfunction, isn't it? It's just cruel. It's just a cruel role model, that is.
Well, it doesn't really bother me because they just belong. It's, for me, looking at these people, and I think that's why I find them quite relaxing and why I use celebrity therapy to get me through, is it's like looking at a fish tank of another species. These are not my people. They are so apart from me, so distant.
An
and
way of
so,
at it.
So it's just like going to an aquarium going, oh, look at that one. That's a weird one. Look at its face. Why is it doing that? And that's what celebrities, you know, the big celebrities are to me.
So tell me about the holiday antics that have cheered you up.
Well, I got slightly obsessed. You've got to remember, my mental health was not good at this point.
As evidenced by your phone call.
Yeah. Liz Hurley.
Yeah.
And her doppelganger son. She's managed to breed a boy who's so spectacularly beautiful and looks like her, but sort of slightly boyish. And he's now 16. And he's giving her pout a run for its money. I mean, he is kind of pouting it up a storm in Dubai, obviously. A lot of these people go to Dubai.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to. So that we don't have to, because it is a place built on blood, obviously.
The more you talk about this, the more I can see that it is a world, or a fish tank, as you put it, that you are really quite immersed in, aren't you?
Yeah, it's
fully immersive sort of.
But whenever you go to see a therapist, a shrink, and you're in the waiting room, there's usually a fish tank. I mean, it is encouraged. I've kind of just taken the fish out of my fish tank and put some people in it.
I'm starting to understand what it must be like to be your therapist. I'm just starting to get a little glimpse of that.
I just wonder what the celebrities would feel like if they looked in on me, you know, if they could watch me through my kitchen
window. But
you're
a celebrity, so it's not quite
very
the same, low grade, is it? It's
very
not
low
quite
grade.
The same. You've been on Celebrity, you know. Well, for goodness sake, you were on in the Jungle. You've
That's
done Splash.
Time.
You've done also. I mean,
oh, yeah. Helen Ledger has done Splash as
yes,
well.
Yes,
we can chat about that. She was very scared. She was.
What? And you weren't.
I wasn't as scared as Helen Ledger.
Did she not even do it?
She did. Yeah, we were both very brave, but I think she went off a lower board than me. I think she went off the 3 meter, and I went off the.
Was it just resting on the top?
She jumped in. She just jumped in. She jumped in off the side. That's what she did. We'll chat with Helen about that later. Mm. Anyway, talking about celebrities and Olivia Colman, she's a good egg celebrity.
Oh, very much so. We
she's
all
not
like
in
her.
The fish tank of freaks. She's in a sort of more normal fish tank of sort of normal fish. And she won the Golden Globe.
Oh, but have you seen it? Have you seen The Favourite?
Tell me about The Favourite.
Fantastic film. Fantastic story. I mean, funnily enough, I've sort of been aware of that story for quite a long time. Well, Sarah, Duchess of Marlborough, whose husband was given Blenheim because he won this major battle at Blenheim, okay?
Yeah.
She was the richest woman in Europe when he died. Very powerful. And I got interested in her because apparently she lived until an old age, and she was painted in old age very beautifully, which is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
But she was, you know, apparently she wore men out in bed until she was in her 70s. She parted until 3 a.m, until she was really old. So charismatic that she apparently eclipsed Queen Anne in the coronation procession with, you know, regaling the crowd. So very charismatic. but had this relationship with Queen Anne, who was dowdy and, you know, very troubled by gout and all these miscarriages and not very sort of self-confident, formed this relationship, obviously sort of probably lesbian, and she became the favourite in court and in the end sort of was running the court.
Why did I get to playing Queen Anne, the dowdy lesbian with the gout?
Well, they probably had you in mind.
Who was it? Who played that? Because I thought the two co-stars were Emma Stone and the other beauty, young beauty. Yes. So who was the old bag?
Well, Queen Anne, Olivia.
Oh, she was.
Yeah. Sorry. So you confused me.
No, who was Queen Sarah? Anne?
Sarah is the favourite, obviously, of the Queen, hence the name.
And that's Olivia Colman.
No, Olivia Colman is the Queen Anne.
Okay, she's who's playing Sarah?
I don't know what her name is. I've forgotten. That's hopeless, isn't it?
Do you know what? I'm going to go have to see this film myself. I'll go take a notebook and a pen.
I thought that was really quite interesting, what I just explained to you. All you want to know is the actress who played Sarah.
That's not the only time you've not known who's... So far, you don't know who Sarah is in the film, The Favourite.
No.
You weren't aware of Lady Gaga.
There was
another one you once told me when you were... I think you were in America and you were with a table of rich and famous.
Oh, yes, I was, wasn't I? I told you about that last night. Well, we're in the 80s. I was quite sort of important, really, as a TV producer.
Do you remember? Back in the day.
Yes, all right. I used to fly people over, you know, on Concorde to do interviews on chat shows. But I was in Hollywood, like I was.
Did they let you in?
Funny enough, they did. And Zsa Zsa Gabor had this lunch for me, you know, with all her mates, obviously thinking, well, you know, they might get a few trips over to England as well. I mean, it was terribly nice of her. She was a lovely woman in lots of ways. And so she hosted this lunch and she sort of did the introductions and then we sat down and started to eat. I talked to one person, I can't remember who it was. Turned to the person to my right, lovely guy. And I said, oh, and what do you do? Which was a ridiculous question in Hollywood. Do you know what he said?
What?
There was this awful pause. And he said, I'm Gene Kelly. I love the way he said that. Just... I'm Gene Kelly. Yeah. That's what I do.
That's my job title.
That's what my... Yeah, exactly. I don't have to do anything. I'm Gene Kelly.
Our guest is here. I'm going to just finish off with a little hint for people on the subject of Hollywood celebrity. I've seen quite a lot of art over the... what was that period called between Christmas and New Year?
I know. Never know. Twistmas? No.
Depression. The big depression.
Yeah. I like that back. You see, that's my favourite bit.
No, I was...
When you've done all the... prep and all that
on
stuff.
On my knees,
quiet
not
time.
No, no.
You got bored.
Oh, God. Anyway, went to Tate Modern and there's a great room and it's a photographer called Catherine Opie and she's done 50 photographs of the inside of Elizabeth Taylor's house.
Wow.
Just before she died and just after.
Faded glory.
So faded glory and one beautiful little moment of a snapshot of Hollywood stroke old age. So it's a side table of Liz Taylor's house. There's a shrine to Michael Jackson. There's little silver heart-shaped boxes of jewellery or bits and bobs all over the place. And then lying next to it is a guide to using your television remote control.
Which, how fabulous.
Yeah, because old age has absolutely, honours nobody.
Absolutely.
You can be
a
Hollywood
idea.
Star, but you still don't know what you're doing with your dib-dob-dob.
Exactly, exactly.
Whatever you call it, your dib-dob-dob. We are going to bring our guest in.
Hurrah!
Hey, have we got a little bit of signature tune just to sort of cover it? You know, like we do when we're editing. Put in a signature tune now, and then it's seamless.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Helen Lederer has joined us in our podcast pod. Our stinking little podcast pod. Have you got a nice cup of coffee?
I've got decaf now because at my age, I just recently...
Can't cope with the caf?
Yeah, I had 4 panic attacks, which I'm told, official panic attacks, and then I cut out caffeine. It could have been my life.
Okay, when you say official panic attacks, did you end up in hospital having an ECG? I don't care. So I don't call it a panic attack.
Okay, it was just a slight thing. May I describe the motion? I'm at my desk worrying.
By the way, I catch them, so if you're really good at describing them, I will go into one.
I know, because you pick up auras, I know. Yeah. I have the power to give you a panic attack. This is good.
You have the power to make me shit my pyjamas once. So.
Yeah, what was that, Jenny?
It was that we were on the phone and you told me something. I don't know what it was. But I remember laughing so hard. I think I had a tummy upset at the time.
As well.
And I laughed, farted, and it followed through. And
big.
My pyjamas.
I've got the power. If only I had that power for whole audiences in one go. Can you imagine? I'd either be booked or I wouldn't be booked around the country.
We just have to close the theatre for 3 months to fumigate and cleanse.
Oh, but that's
the theatre.
You know, that's such a lovely memory. But it is. But it's just such a lovely memory thinking about talking to you today is, you know, if we think about the 90s really our time
the 80s when we
friends
did a double act
and when all those things when people would connect and the joy of connecting with someone.
Well, stand-up was in its infancy. We were sort of right there at the beginning when I came down from Manchester in 1982. There was only you still working. It was you and a girl called Jenny Lecote.
Yes.
Working, and she was very earnest, Jenny
Lecote.
The
two Jennies.
And then I joined you. I mean, French and Saunders had already left the circuit. They'd been snapped up by the telly.
And they hold, deservedly so, the aristocracy elite section that has never changed. And our sort of healthy bitterness at the time has now been usurped by the
Fury.
New generation, Fury, yes. As you say, by obviously the next generation. Now people in their 40s are in their prime, and I don't think they have to embrace those feelings that we had to embrace. So I forgive myself a lot now, being 64, of all those things, because they were just symptoms and consequences of what we were trying to do in that environment.
I have to say that I find the younger generation of female comics, the 40-somethings that you're talking about, a lot more embracing of each other.
Yes.
It's quite shocking. But people like Sarah Millican is really helpful to other comics. I mean, we were madly slamming doors against each other, going, you can't come through, only let me through, don't. And I will admit to this now. And why were we so paranoid and rabid?
I don't think
we were.
I think, again, that's a consequence of you as an artist who needed and is talented to express what you had to express. The environment you were in and myself, we had to kind of fight for it because
so
it wasn't normal.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean about forgiving. I look back and think, you know, we were just doing what we had to do at the time. Mm. I value connecting with other people and having that laugh with another comedian. It's so rare. It's so rare to find another mind like ours. And you can put all that other stuff aside and have a laugh and shit your pants is the ideal sort of apex of what you're describing. I think it's almost a bonus. I think it was, it's not hard. It was just that's when we came in and that's how it was.
It was very 80s.
It was the 80s and the 90s. And we did what we had to do and we do what we do now. And
we did a double act that was an absolute disaster.
I didn't know you did a double act.
It was
funny. So short-lived.
But you chased me, though. You wanted me. You did chase me. And then I adored rehearsing with you. I think my rehearsing time with you was the best bit. I go round to your lovely flat and you'd have Marmite on Ryvita and tomatoes.
Yeah, I was still in my anorexic stage.
Yeah, and you had beautiful handwriting and a beautiful notebook and everything was neat, whereas I was kind of all over the place, probably slimming pills at that time, and very bad handwriting. God knows how we got it together. But my memories were having somewhere to go in the daytime and laughing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Whether or not And because our extremities,
and then we got it on stage.
But our extremities of your of who you are and who I am obviously are so different. You became louder and louder, and I became tiny, tiny little voice, like I was there with my parents, going, "I'm so sorry about my father singing loudly in the
smallest." And I was just shouting.
Yeah, it was funny.
We did two gigs. We did one in Shepherd's Bush, which was a disaster, and then we did an even worse one. We thought, "Oh, this can't get any worse." And then we did a second gig, which was the final show.
Was that in Camden?
No, it wasn't. It was Islington. Oh, and you tried to climb over the roof to escape the audience because
what? Literally?
Yeah. She went out the fire engine. It's such a coward.
Well, you embarrass me so much.
How did she embarrass you?
Just because you're so loud.
I always got loud. When I panic.
Yes, I think that's now
start shouting and swearing and getting really, really manic.
To compensate for this mousy friend
that disappeared.
Had disappointed you and let you down terribly.
I do have a very strong memory of failing at this gig in Islington and then turning around.
With me?
And,
that one?
Yeah, with you.
Oh, God.
And you were climbing out of a window. onto a fire escape with the intention. I said, "Where do you think you're going?" You said, "I think I can get on the roof." I think you said, "I cannot walk out of this room normally because that means bumping into the people who've seen us."
Peer group.
And I basically just put my coat on, head down, and sort of like ran out. And you tried to escape over the roof.
Yeah.
And I think by then, I didn't care whether you fell.
Where's the loyalty? But I think actually, it meant a lot. There's two of us, as you said at the beginning, not many other people doing it together. It was nice for us to do something together.
I found the material and we had fun. About 10 years later. And when I reread it about 10 years later, I just thought this was just before its time.
Yeah, everything we've done has been before our time.
And timing is very important in comedy. And that was the one thing we got wrong was we were a decade out.
I think we were committed and dedicated and genuine in what we did and why we were doing it.
Judith has been in
you have a lovely
sharing
team.
A boat with me for a number of years now. And one thing that I wrote an article about this week in The Independent was, and it came up on the Twitter, about how few women there are doing comedy travel shows. Or not even comedy, just comedians being allowed
leading,
to do...
having a voice about something.
And it was a tweet that was triggered by a girl called London Hughes, who's a younger stand-up. So London Hughes had met Whoopi Goldberg, who offered to do a travel show with her, but TV company was interested, which is just weird. Then more and more girls joined in this sort of comedy
Does that make
thread.
Them get the work, though?
Well,
being sort of saying, "Here I am," does that get you work?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, that's why I'm asking it.
That is a really interesting question.
But you've got a pitch.
But may I go back? How long have we got? I absolutely agree with you, Jenny, and your Twitter work is sublime. But don't we know about women in comedy, and you and me sharing so much in the beginning, is that we alarm people. Individual funny women in those days were alarming.
But and my character, less alarming now.
Well, there are more people, but does that make them more interesting, better? It might. Or we have to hold fast to who we are and our authenticity, yours and mine. But if we ask for jobs, I sometimes think... people don't like that, and it's there are many ways to skin a cat. I think asking for things is still doesn't get you the goal. It gets you heard, but it might not necessarily
That's
get you
very,
the goal.
Very interesting.
God,
thought.
I was thinking of taking someone hostage. I get so angry about it. I was thinking of going to the BBC with a weapon.
Okay, I love that, and I love that quality about you. What you do and how you express yourself is ahead of the time, it is. And I do it my way, more insidiously, but I do it my way. We're very different. But I do remember being asked on Newsnight, got phoned up. I do this story, I try and make it brief. I got asked on Newsnight to talk, and that you will love this, both of you, to come on Newsnight to talk about why there weren't enough women panellists on panellist games, right? Yeah. So I got asked, I was very excited. I thought, Newsnight, yes, come on. I got my polemic already. I thought, I can do my sort of intellectual... I thought, that's me. Anyway, so I'm in Groucho's. That's not part of the story. It was just an accident. I had to meet someone. So I'd had a couple of drinks. That wasn't why. And no real connection. Got the phone call for a very apologetic researcher. Haven't we all been there? Yeah. Producer saying, when we asked you to come on, the car was going to pick me up. part. It's been cancelled. I said, why? He said, well, we got Maureen Lipman. So I said, what? You're asking me to come on to talk about why, and now you've cancelled it because you've got too many women talking about why there aren't enough women. And then they put an impressionist at the end to do a turn. That was their expression of, and nothing wrong with women impressionists, don't get me wrong, but it's like they had to do a turn. They couldn't actually
couldn't pursue the
debate.
Yes.
And I think that was about 5 years ago. So then I wrote to Danny Cohen, who was head of BBC at the time, trying to say the irony of that. Mm-hmm. Got the meeting. And then the first thing he said was, how can he help? You can be bloody serious, mate. But I didn't.
You idiot.
But I didn't say that. And then he did say, and this is genuine, he's left now, but he said, well, we all know who you are. I thought, yeah. I'm 500 years old. Of course you'd know who I am. But anyway, it was one of those examples of getting seen, a person doing the right thing by seeing me saying a sort of legitimate point, and then nothing happening. But women who are loud, who place themselves as outsiders, which stand-up comedy elements just go hand in hand with that to an extent, society's not quite comfortable with us yet.
I think much more comfortable than they used to be.
With the 40-year-olds. Yeah. And it's for them to
we
do...
Yes, but I have to be a bit more gracious about it. I actually sort of have had to come to the terms with television is not my medium. And we have to sort of get the work elsewhere.
But that's
we have to
fine,
tour. We have to write books.
Yeah, but...
Now, write books. We need to grill you
I
about
I could talk
quick.
To you all day. And I have to force me to come out of the studio.
Talk us through Splash.
Well,
your experience of Splash, you were really scared.
I do this story that it was helped by you when I, you know, I went back to do stand up this summer.
Yes, I know.
Just to see if I
really on that
could
as well.
Do it. And that was interesting. But my Splash story, one of the Splash stories was in the second series. So my version, I insist, they took me to Harrods like it was some kind of treat to get a swimming costume. And I thought, like, I was supposed to be excited. Just the depression of being in putting on a swimming suit. Yeah. So I made her put lace around my down belows in a sort of
skirt.
It was a swimming frock. Yeah. And then you told me in the second series that they didn't allow the celebrities to have their down belows covered by any kind of lace or frockness, so that everything was exposed, particularly with the angle of the
camera.
Female putenda on the diving board, which I think it was just I think it was just so that the viewing figures had to be kept high or horrified, wasn't it, in the second series because they were struggling. But, you know, the sensible woman would go, can I please have lace on my down belows? Otherwise, how am I going to even walk up the diving board?
What I want to ask you about is the quip thing, because this was your idea.
So 4 years I have been doing this, trying to get this prize together. I've been banging on about it. The reason why I did set it up was, so I'm now contradicting myself, I was angry. There was a bit of anger.
Explain to us what it is.
Right.
What quip
so
is.
Comedy Women in Print is a prize in its first year that not only gives a prize to published novels that have been written in a certain year, so I don't know when your last one was. Obviously, I'm not going to be on the judging panel because I can't do that because I couldn't take the responsibility.
Or the bribes.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Clever, you're in there. And the other one is to nurture unpublished writing, and then Harper Fiction are going to publish the winner of the unpublished. So finally, after 4 years, it is actually doing top and bottom, bottom and top. So, because I thought, I got nominated for the PG Woodhouse Comedy Literary Award with my book. But then I thought, so where is a prize for female comedy fiction? And there was, exclusively as there was in the Women's Prize for Female Fiction, was called the Baileys. So I thought, there is a need for it. There is a market. So I'm doing this job. There will be an event in July and it's happening. But it means I can't do anything else because every time I sit down to write my next book, I've got to also beg people. This is the thing. It's put me in a very position where I have to go and sort of do namaste actions to people because I'm having to ask people to do things for the thing, even though I'm obviously not getting anything out of it personally, except probably a CBE, not, because I'd obviously hand that back and I'm not the type to be given one or hand it back, therefore. And it's just taken over my life and...
But it's a good thing.
It is.
It is a very good thing.
Thank you.
No, there's a proper publisher involved.
And the University of Hertfordshire is giving an MA to the, if they want one, It costs about £6,000 to have an MA to the runner-up.
So are you asking for people to apply to your competition?
Yes, because the deadline, Judith, is at the end of February. And so we've had quite a lot of published books already sent from publishers.
Are they already been published or about to be published?
No, published within the time frame of what we said on the website. So we've got a lot, interestingly, of female fiction books in, published.
Yeah.
And then with the unpublished people, they need to get their two chapters and synopsis in by the end of February.
Right.
And then they get shortlisted. And then we have a party in July.
Who have you got as judges?
Well, we haven't got them all in place, which is why I was coming to beg. We've got Marion Keyes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
fantastic.
Alison Pearson.
I mean, both and have written comedy books. Well, not comedy,
Alison got nominated, but they gave me their support at the very beginning, and the rest I'm filling in. So we need two different panels for the unpublished and the published. So please help.
We'll have a chat about that later,
maybe. Definitely.
Anyway, listen, you've been an exhausting guest.
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Judith and I are very, very tired now. And we've got to do another show.
Goodbye.
So what we're going to do is we're going to let you go.
Yeah,
and then we're going
quickly
to turn the lights off.
You made me think so much, though. You really have. No, you've been really stimulating.
I'm a bit serious today.
So. No, you're fascinating.
I need
a nap.
We've
got such depth.
Really wants me to go. That's like, okay, Judith, enough of the nicety. I'm underlining. Helen, leave. Okay, I'm taking my headphones off. Ladies and gentlemen, I have finished my decaf and I will leave the premises.
Your job here is done.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wow.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.